We've got WPR's Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky here with us to talk about some of the other stories that took place in Wisconsin this week. Noah, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
We're going to start with a story that we've talked about a little bit earlier, the four resignations from a Department of Transportation drunk driving task force. What happened?
Right. So this was a group that has been working on different solutions for the drunk driving issue here in the state. And as we heard, four members of that group very publicly resigned essentially en masse yesterday.
Obviously, that kind of resignation intended to deliver a message.
Right. And that message was that this group of individuals felt that really this process was not to their liking. They said that the Tavern League, which is the lobbying group that represents restaurants and bars and so forth, had too much influence on the group. And they basically argued that the meetings were essentially useless and that documents were drawn up during the course of the meetings that were being advertised as a consensus of the group when, in fact, there was no such consensus.
So we've got that out there, and that's what that group of four is saying. What does the Tavern League have to say about it?
Right. So Tavern League officials deny having any sort of undue influence and point to the fact that the executive director of the group actually hasn't been to a meeting since last August as proof. Their argument is, how can they be the problem if there is nobody around to actually make trouble? In this case, the executive director.
And as far as the reaction from the DOT, now they're sort of at the center of this between both sides. What are they saying? How are they responding?
Yeah, so the DOT issued a statement yesterday where it basically said, it regretted that the members were leaving the task force and that officials would reach out to them in the near future to discuss their concerns. The DOT also noted in a statement that, the number of alcohol-related crashes, injuries, fatalities, et cetera, are in fact decreasing here. In Wisconsin.
You've got these four resignations, and we've heard that the Tavern League says that it's going to continue, I guess, to be part of this group, right? They're going to carry on?
Yeah, the league says absolutely they're going to continue. They're committed to working with the DOT to reduce drunken driving and the fatalities that can result from it. The group says it will continue to work to find a consensus in the group, whatever that consensus might be.
Now, obviously, this is a bigger story. This is what's happened today. But I wonder if you could put into context for us the scope of Wisconsin's issues with alcohol.
Yeah. When I saw the headline, four members of this group resigned, I'd like to think that I was surprised. But I really wasn't because, this latest controversy really speaks to the incredibly complicated relationship the state of Wisconsin has with alcohol and drunken driving. The fact is this state is something of an outlier. Wisconsin is the only state in the country where first offense drunken driving isn't actually a crime. Also, if you look at the statistics, we're also an outlier. The AP, citing data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, said from 2006 to 2009, 24% of drivers over the age of 16 reported driving impaired. And that is actually the highest number in the country. Now, those are, somewhat old numbers, but I think they still represent, really, they represent the gulf between how this state deals with alcohol and how other states do.
And so this is going to be an ongoing situation to watch. And do you expect, is your news antenna up? Is this going to snowball and become something bigger, a bigger conversation?
Yeah. I think this conversation is ongoing. Clearly this state has a problem with alcohol. It's a huge problem. And given the number and the variety of stakeholders that we have in this state, finding that consensus about how to deal with this issue is going to remain a challenge.
Well, we're going to move on to news from the UW system. The Board of Regents passed a budget for the next school year. What did they decide?
So some good news for parents and students. The plan includes a tuition freeze. Now, the state legislature mandated that freeze, but the regents went a step further, actually, than what state lawmakers wanted to do. Lawmakers initially only wanted that freeze to apply to undergraduates. The regents expanded the freeze to all student groups.
What's the significance of that? Are they trying to, put on a show of good faith?
To be honest with you, it's hard for me to say what's going on inside their heads. But certainly I think the regents are very aware of The scrutiny that they're under right now, and the need for transparency, and the need to take actions that will be seen as positive by lawmakers.
So we have this tuition freeze that extends beyond undergraduates to all students, it sounds like. What about hikes? Are there any of those included here?
Yes, there are. So we've got the tuition freeze, but the plan actually raises student fees and room and board costs. According to the plan that was just passed, student fees are going to increase about 3.6%. Room and board expenses are increasing by an average of 2.7%. What does that all mean, you ask? For the average UW student, they're going to be paying around $218 more in the next school year than they did this year.
So a little bit more there coming out of fees and room and board expenses. And it sounds like there was also movement on the Wisconsin Higher Education Grant Program. What action did the regents take there?
Yeah, the regents also voted in favor of asking legislators for more money for that program. They're asking for around $15 million additional dollars in order to eliminate a waiting list that has around 3,500 people on it now. The additional money would also be used to increase the actual average amount of that award.
And the Wisconsin Higher Education Grant Program, what does it do? What's the point of it?
Yeah, so it offers awards for those who need financial assistance. The regents are asking that the award increase by a little less than $100. So that would bring the award to around $1,800 if state lawmakers agree.
And we're going to move last to a Wisconsin story that's actually gone national. It's not the kind of story you really want to see go national out of Wisconsin, but there it is, of some stabbings near Waukesha.
Right. So this is one of the most unusual stories, frankly, to come out of Wisconsin, at least in recent years. Two 12-year-old girls have been accused of stabbing their friend 19 times, almost killing her, at a park in Waukesha County.
And what is it that grabbed people's attention? What is it that is significant about this case?
Yeah, one of the things that I think really brought people's attention was the fact that the girls said they did it in order to curry favor with a fictional character on the internet called Slenderman. Apparently, the girls wanted to prove he actually existed.
So obviously lots of facets here. These are 12-year-old girls we're talking about. They obviously had an unhealthy relationship with this fictional character. It's unclear about the borders of fantasy and reality. But what are some of the angles that the news is picking up on, different facets here?
Yeah, so there are a few angles. Certainly one is whether or not the girls should be tried as adults, which they currently are. That could change if defense attorneys convince a judge to move them to juvenile court. But that's certainly an issue we're going to watch. Because if they do get moved to juvenile court, that means that, they'd really only be incarcerated probably until their mid-20s. So it puts a pretty significant cap on the punishment. Another angle of the issue is the online viewing habits of preteens. You kind of alluded to that. What are these horror websites all about? How involved should parents be in monitoring their kids? Another angle, if any warning signs there may have been, and right now, frankly, it doesn't seem like there were any that this crime was going to take place.
What have people in the community been saying about the girls? Were there indications that anybody picked up on?
The principal of the school the girls attended said they were good students with no prior behavioral issues. The principal, as quoted by the AP, said they were, quote, just normal students.
Mm. And we haven't heard a lot about the victim. Her identity hasn't been released. But what do we know about how she's doing?
Yeah, the victim, the media, including us, we're not naming her. But she is reportedly in fair condition. Doctors did note that she was very, very lucky. I mean, she was stabbed 19 times. And in fact, she was stabbed very close to her heart. So very, very lucky to be alive.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Noah.
Thanks.
That was WPR's Assistant News Director, Noah Ovshinsky.